Louisiana Eats is brought to you with support from Louisiana Fish Fry, a staple of Louisiana kitchens for nearly 40 years. Maker of batters, coatings, boils, tartar sauce, cocktail sauce, and more. Louisiana Fish Fry, because life needs Louisiana flavor. From our studios in the Southern Food and Beverage Museum in New Orleans, this is Louisiana Eats. I'm Poppy Tooker. For those in the hospitality industry, there are few honors more prestigious than winning a James Beard Award. This year, New Orleanians were thrilled when the Beard Foundation named the Big Easy's Dakar Nola Best New Restaurant in America. Those familiar with Chef Serene Mabey's original take on his native Senegalese cuisine were not surprised. On this week's episode, we celebrate the local 2024 winners and nominees. First, we talk to T. Martin, a member of the famous Brennan family and one of the grand dames of the New Orleans restaurant industry. Along with her cousin, Lolly Brennan, T has spent more than a quarter century at the helm of legendary Commander's Palace. A multiple James Beard winner herself, T tells us about the party she hosted at Commander's to honor this year's local honorees. Next, we hear from mixologist extraordinaire Chris Hanna. His Jewel of the South Tavern, named the 2024 James Beard Best Bar in America, serves as both a center of cocktail innovation and as an homage to Crescent City highball history. Finally, Best Chef of the South nominee Arvinder Vilku, along with his son Ashwin, recount the story of their restaurant, Saffron Nola. Here, diners enjoy the Vilku's family personal blend of Indian and Creole flavors, responsible for that Best New Restaurant nomination coming just months after opening. We're celebrating the James Beard Awards on this week's Louisiana Eats. If there was such a thing as New Orleans restaurant royalty, certainly the Brennan family would be the ruling house. So it could be said that T. Adelaide Martin, daughter of matriarch Ella Brennan, was born to the hospitality industry. But more than simply an accident of birth, it's T's dedication to excellence and striving to always be better that has ensured the continued success of the family's flagship restaurant, Commander's Palace. This week, T takes a break from her busy schedule to chat with us about the party she threw to celebrate this year's James Beard Foundation honorees and to share some thoughts on the state of her industry. Oh, T. Martin, welcome to the Louisiana Eats studio, and I was inspired to have this conversation with you because of a very special little gathering that I attended after the James Beard Awards this year. Now, you are certainly not a newcomer to the James Beards. What are the James Beard Awards that Commander's has garnered?
Oh, good Lord. Outstanding restaurant, best service in America. I think the second time that was ever given out. Then Jamie won Best Chef, as did Tori for our region. Mom won the Lifetime Achievement Award. Lally and I won Who's Who. But let me tell you, we lost a whole lot more than we won.
Well, you know.
But we had fun every year.
But isn't the story always true that it is an honor just to be nominated?
I told the Vilku family from Saffron Nola, where I'm the giant fan, that it's better to not win. And I used to tell Tori and Jamie that. Like, and then in hopes that you're nominated again for several years, because then you're a part of the whole hoopla, and it's just better and frankly more fun because you're up in New York having fun with your peers. And they always hated when I told them that.
But, but it is true.
It is true. It really is true.
So this year, we had some great attention from the James Beards.
Yeah, wasn't that something?
It was something. Our friend Serene Mabey with Dakar Nola to win Best New Restaurant in America.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the cocktail master, Chris Hanna, bringing it back to the city again.
Yeah.
And now for his very own Jewel of the South.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Vilku family getting that stellar nomination.
Yeah.
Tell me what inspired you to have that little gathering and why honoring these other people at these other establishments was so important to you.
Well, we, for quite a while, and maybe you know, like the Meg and Company dinners and whatnot and other things that we do, we're trying to highlight, you know, kind of up-and-comers in the city and shed some light wherever we can on them. Just because we want to, and just because I think it's good for New Orleans, and our whole team does, and Meg and Lally and I. So what happened here was when they won, I was all so excited because I'm such a fan of all of them, and I know them, you know, some of them quite well. And so I was texting with Serene, and Serene's first job was at Commander's.
Yeah, at the age of like 18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful story through our dear mutual friend, and he just told Tori, you got to hire this guy. And Tori did. And then we all fell absolutely in love with him. And then he came down and was a sous chef for us at Cafe Adelaide. And then he was off working with our dear friend Dominique in San Francisco, Dominique Kren. Anyway, he was always ended up traveling around. And then he came back. He's like, I'm back. I want to do a restaurant in New Orleans. And we worked very closely with him, even helping him work on his financials and whatnot. So we just did everything we could to help Serene. We just adore him. So what happened about the party was I was just texting him. I was just beside myself. And I'm like giving him a minute without calling, just texting like, you know, go, Serene, go, you know, blah, blah. And he's like, hey, we think we might have a party with the three nominees and the, you know, two winners. He was going to do it. Really was all his idea. And then I just said, well, I got a bigger place than you, so I'll throw the party. And that was that.
It was a grand party.
Well, to be just really restaurateurs,
yes,
you know, of our little town together, not at a charity event, not at whatever, just there together was awesome. And then what fun. And now just Jewel of the South, I have been a fan from moment one. You know, Chris Hanna, right? I mean, twice he's done this. I mean, amazing. Top 50 bars in the country, I think twice.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think then Tales of the Cocktail, best bar in the country. Then Beard Award, best bar. I mean, come on. That's amazing. And then I've been nuts for Saffron Nola from the get-go.
Well, the food's pretty delicious.
Well, they make a damn good drink, too. They do.
Yes,
you know,
they do.
Not every restaurant still is serious about the cocktails, but they are. And the flavors are just exciting, you know. And I've known, you know, the family for the longest time, you know, just tried to support. And what a blast. And now they're doing the place across the street. I can't wait.
Well, yeah. It was a great, great party. And the food was delicious and the drinks were grand. And there was a brass band, of course. But, T, the thing that I loved the most about the honor of being there that night was listening to your rousing speech, the speech that you gave about our culinary history, our place in America culinary-wise, and how important it is that we keep striving, particularly in the hospitality category. Yeah. So would you tell us your thoughts on that a little bit?
Poppy, I don't know when I became the old broad, you know, anyway, but you feel a little older than a lot of these folks and you want to talk about, you know, I think a lot of us feel the way I feel about New Orleans, which is it's like a family member. In other words, you want to kill them sometimes, but you do anything for them. And I think we feel much more strongly about our city than other people in other cities. And I think we're such an important part of that. I've also learned that if you really think about in the history of mankind, truly the only way to affect other people is with your words. So if you have the opportunity to speak to any group of any size and you have something you believe in and you want to say it. So I've taken to doing that in the last couple of decades, and that was such a great gathering. So I briefly just said, hey, y'all, you know, 300 years, we're one of the top, if not the top, you know, food city in America and, you know, one of the top in the world. But there's people nipping at our heels. So come on. And I mean, the exciting, you know, Jules and Saffron's and Michael Galata and all this exciting stuff going on, you know, go. And so I'm just pushing and encouraging that because other cities are nipping at our heels, darn it. But we also are unique for something that nobody else is, and it's hospitality. But we are not as good as we need to be, and we need to work at this. Lally Brennan and I literally work at this, and our team, Kenny Meyer, even Chef Meg Bickford, literally every night and day in pre-meal, we are talking about hospitality and body language and not rushing people in 1,000 things to do and not do. But you have to work at it, and it makes me angry when people don't work at it. We are not here to do food drop-off, dang it. We are here to provide hospitality and service in a professional, you know, you could make it warm and fun. That's our style of commanders. You can be more serious in other places. But damn it, let's deliver on that. It's a little bit in our DNA, but we do need to work at it.
T, if I'm correct, there's certainly some legend and some lore about where the art of team waiting came from.
What do you know that I don't know?
My favorite secret. Okay, I'll tell my favorite secret.
Come on.
I tell it to people when we sit down at a table at Commander's, and they do it every time, and it is so remarkable and perfect. I find that there's nothing more irritating than having five different waiters ask me what I want to drink. And so, okay, I'm going to give away your secret, but that brilliant piece of hospitality that is so simple. The salt and pepper is a part. They take the order. They put them together. And it's a sign to everybody else on the team. It's brilliant. Nobody seems to have copied it anyplace.
Isn't that the damnedest thing?
Did your mama think that up?
You know, I don't know where that originated. We've been doing it since I can remember. But it's called a table signal. And when they're talking to you and they move it, the two things together, you know, you just think they're doing a little table maintenance. In a perfect world, Poppy, nobody else asks you for your cocktail order. So things like that, you know, matter. And position numbers, you know, I call it if you go somewhere, I mean, to go to the trouble to make sure that, you know, we know that you're getting the chicken and I'm getting the steak. If not, we call it the food auction. Who's got the chicken? You know,
and it's like, I hate that auctioning the plates. I hate it.
Like, come on, all you got to do is put a position number down and trying to serve ladies first and pulling the chairs and just basically making way for guests when they come by you and making eye contact. It's a big thing. This much extra effort, teeny tiny, you know. But believe me, I'm going to be honest. Service at Commander's Palace is not back to where it was in 2019. We are crawling that mountain again, crawling up that hill, just like we had to do after Katrina. So it is hard to get all the way back there. But basically, people just have to care. One of the things that I always say is you have to make the guests feel like you're on their side, you know. And it's a feeling that you deliver with body language, vocals, everything. A lot of details and signals and things that go into it. But it matters, you know, and people, good Lord, they appreciate it.
That was the legendary T. Martin of Commander's Palace, Le Petit Bleu Creperie, and Picnic Provisions and Whiskey. Coming up next, we sit down with Chris Hanna, whose Jewel of the South was named 2024 Best Bar in America by the James Beard Foundation. Louisiana Eats returns after a short break. I'm Poppy Tooker, and you're listening to Louisiana Eats, edible content for Louisiana food lovers. Louisiana Eats is brought to you with major support from Crystal Hot Sauce, now celebrating over 100 years of hot sauce deliciousness, always made with just three simple ingredients: aged red cayenne peppers, distilled white vinegar, and salt. Nothing artificial. Crystal Hot Sauce. Step out of the heat and into the flavor. From Louisiana Fish Fry, who's on the hunt for the best home-cooked fried chicken sandwich in the country, and they're coming to a city near you to find it. The chicken wars will not be won in drive-thrus, but through the drive of home cooks like you. Each city's winner will be flown to the finale in New York City this October, with the grand prize winner receiving the Golden Skillet Trophy and the title of Louisiana Fish Fry's VP of Fried Chicken, which includes a trip to New Orleans next February for football's biggest game, and so much more. For official rules and to enter, visit LouisianaFishFry.com. Louisiana Fish Fry, because life needs Louisiana flavor. And from Rouse's Markets, synonymous with seafood, straight from Louisiana's waterways. Rouse's Markets, tastes like home. Bartender Chris Hanna is a self-described old soul, and he's brought a sense of timeless elegance to every project he's touched since arriving in New Orleans 2 decades ago. He first made his mark at the Kasparian family's Arno's restaurant. There, he developed the French 75 into a bar worthy of the historic eatery, earning a stunning 3 James Beard Awards for his efforts. Along the way, he developed a reputation for combining classic techniques with seasonal flavors to create cocktails that virtually dance on the tongue. At the center of Chris's success has always been his respect for the time-honored traditions of his trade. At Manolito, the cozy Cuban bar and restaurant he opened in the French Quarter with partner Nick Dietrich, bartenders adhere to the techniques practiced at the legendary El Floridita Bar in Havana, Cuba. Likewise, Chris's award-winning Jewel of the South Bar was opened as an homage to New Orleans cocktail history. As Chris says, everything from drinks to dinner is prepared and presented with intention and precision. That commitment is exactly what earned Jewel of the South the James Beard designation, Best Bar in America. In hindsight, Chris seems to have been destined to carve his own successful path. But he told me that parting ways with his first love, the French 75 Bar, was not an easy decision. So, how did the time for you to leave Arno's behind and go to your own spot come together?
Well, my partner who brought me to Manolito, Nick Dietrich, really good friend of mine, obviously a longtime bartender with Cure, and he opened Canyon Table. And we've been friends for so long. We would travel and like bartend elsewhere, but Manolito is a nod to our trips to Cuba together, which were really special. And I love being part of Manolito because of that. But when we found the house that's on St. Louis, we were talking on one of the trips about how we could bring Jewel of the South back to New Orleans and also back to the world. And it was really hard for me to leave French 25 after what I've done there, you know. And at the end of the day, to be quite honest with you, I really could just have ended my days of bartending in the White Jacket 75 bar, being part of somebody's checklist of like when you have to visit New Orleans. You know, it's like you get that age where you bartended 20 years in the French Quarter, you are turning into somebody's checklist of like souvenirs. You know, that it's a weird thing to say, but you know, sometimes, you know, some things are just facts. And So it was really hard to leave, but then to have the opportunity to bring Jewel of the South back, which is a very important bar in our history, our cocktail history, and to do it again is pretty much a feat, you know, and we have, you know, after in the last 4 years, like the momentum from Corona, I'm really appreciative of everybody who's stuck with me at Jewel of the South and help us do what we finally came to do with that little cottage on St. Louis.
Well, Chris, for people who don't know anything about that history, why Jewel of the South? Why was it important? And why did it inspire you to bring it back?
Well, Jewel of the South was Santini's first bar.
And who is he?
Joseph Santini is the most famous bartender in all of New Orleans history. He created the first juicing program, if you will. Everything else was punch. And so like the single use of juice, where you would juice and actually contain it to make one single cocktail, is what he did.
And so what time period are we talking about? When was he around?
1850s is when he began this.
It must have been hard to get that fresh juice to squeeze back then.
Yeah, exactly. So he was obviously well sought after, and people were willing to pay for that, right? So he was able to start that in the 40s, 1840s. He had his own following, and he put his Jewel of the South on Gravier and Carondelet. Obviously, right now, it's like a parking lot, but at the time, he named it Jewel of the South. And when you think about the name, New Orleans was Jewel of the South, and so he was calling his bar the eponymous Jewel of the South, the New Orleans, you know, and it was the most famous bar in all of the South. And so when we lost it, like the entire St. Mary neighborhood, you know, to be the CBD and warehouse district, you know,
what time period was that? How long was Jewel of the South extant here?
So he died in the 80s, 1880s, and so did Jewel of the South, and so did that entire neighborhood. And we wanted to, and you know, a lot of us knew about the Cresta, and I love bringing the Cresta back. And the Cresta, Brandy Cresta is the drink he was known for, and that's where his first cocktail where you can make individually with a single, like, you know, usage of juice. And that turned into the Daisy, which turned into the Margarita and everything else. But so it was important for us to bring back Jewel of the South and the Brandy Cresta and Santini's history. But obviously we make a lot more drinks at Jewel of the South, but, you know, for the first sugar-rimmed cocktail in the entire world, it's definitely one of our staples.
So Jewel of the South, it is a jewel of New Orleans, and it's receiving national and international acclaim as such. How many times have you been nominated yourself for a James Beard?
This is the fourth time. Yeah, the fourth time. Three times with the French 75 bar, three times a charm, and then this one time with Jewel of the South, and it was remarkable being there.
Tell me about the experience. Did you expect to win?
No, not at all. You know, I don't know if I should talk about whatever the rules are, but everybody says the thing is like, oh, you got nominated once, you have to get nominated again. You're never going to win the first time.
And well, there's no rule. That's just rumor.
I know that. Yeah, I know that now. But, and you know, I love being in that auditorium so much, to be honest with you. I mean, I know obviously to win is fantastic, but when you're in that room and you're nominated with all of these other restaurants and cooks, bartenders, writers, and it is the highest achievement in this industry that I chose as a career is the James Beard Award. And when I'm there, I would look down the aisles and I'm just like basking in and just like realizing that everybody in this auditorium cares exactly as much about what they do as I do. Everyone. That's the only way they ever get nominated. So it's so special to be in that room of 1,000 people all there who are, it's for them equally. It's like their lifetime achievement goal as well. My favorite memory is obviously seeing Leah Chase win hers and her speech. And even though sometimes like there's like a little bit of chatter, like some restaurant people are happy to see each other, you know, like when somebody else is winning and doing their speech and some people are like, you know, shushing them or whatever. None of that happened. It was the only time every single person in the entire auditorium was silent. People were crying. I looked down, people were crying. It was amazing. When she was talking about serving Obama her gumbo and her history of becoming, you know, a chef at Dookie Chase, the history of Dookie Chase. It was the only time it was a 100% standing ovation. And just looking down the aisles at, you know, for being a New Orleanian, I was like, this is my hero. And everybody's accepting and recognizing that a legend is actually in front of them. That was the most special moment for me, was when she won hers. And the next year when I won mine, I waited for the chance to go to Dookie Chase, and I wore my James Beard, and she had hers on. And I had somebody take our picture, and that the picture of me and her with our James Beard is framed on my wall right now.
Oh, Chris.
It is the highlight of my career.
Story.
Yeah.
Winning that James Beard, the first and then the second, there must be a comparison. How did it change your life then, and how's it changing your life now?
You know, the first time, I mean, it was just, obviously it's the highest honor I could ever have. It was insane. You know, I'm very happy about that team, proud of that team. The award was fantastic. The second time, what I noticed is I was able to bring a bartender with me instead of just me being there, you know what I mean? So I was able to bring Sean Williams, awesome young bartender here, very large part of our team at Jewel of the South. And so I was able to sit down and tell her, is like, look down the aisles and just realize where you are. Everybody here works as hard as we do. This is special. This is amazing. And then we win. That was nuts. we both knew, it was like, oh, this is just great. Let's just stand up and clap. I mean, I know the bartenders in the other bar, so I was, you know, ready to congratulate them. But then we won. So, but as far as like the changing, it was that for me. It was having a teammate there, like showing somebody else how amazing it is to be at the James Beard Awards. That was my favorite part.
So, Chris, you know, you talked about how that life at Arno's at the French 75 could have just extended on in that fashion. But then the Jewel possibility came along and you grabbed it and polished it into the Jewel of the South is today.
Yep.
What are you hoping for in the future, Chris? Are you looking forward to being the old bartender behind the bar? You got a ways to go before you get there, but what's next, Chris? What interests and excites you?
Well, you know what interests me and excites me is the ability to keep going. If we could keep our momentum and our employees interested in doing the job, it's you know, obviously it's a tough job. But if you have the same team and the same amount of people who continue to like stick with your team, it means you're actually doing a good job. You know, I had the same 6 to 7 people for almost 5 years at Arno's, and that's impressive. And have for almost 4 years, 4 people here at Jewel who all are the core of the bar, and our GM, Paul Gregoff, who was my bartender I trained at French 75 Bar, and he's the one in charge of all the servers, instilling the service qualities that we had over at the French 25. So like to go forward is if we can keep doing that until I have to retire, which when I say retire, I think I'm probably just going to like be behind the bar 2 days a week, you know, during the day. So people can come in and get the check mark off their list, you know. But that's the thing, is I know that what I'm supposed to do is be like Miss Flo, who did 40 years behind the bar at Quarter Two Sisters, and obviously Martin Sawyer, who bartended 50 years in the French Quarter. And then there's Miss Lisa, who's at 40 years at Chart Room. And then there's obviously Paul Gustings. He's still doing brunches at Broussard's on the weekends. But I think I'm going to try to wrap it up in 5 years.
Wrap it up in 5 years?
Yeah.
Chris, you're not very old. What are you talking about?
I think that I'm going to try to, you know, just walk around like Uncle Lionel. You know what I mean? He was obviously like, you know, Uncle Lionel, you know, the drummer for the Treme Brass Band. I loved watching him walk around the quarter, just all dressed up, checking in on everybody. And I think that's just what I'm gonna. That's what I'm gonna do.
That's your aspiration. That's it. You're going to be the cocktail version of Uncle Lionel. That's a great aspiration.
It's a large feat as well, because he was super great. Everybody loved Uncle Lionel. But yeah, that's you know, to walk around and dress nice, show up in bars, go to, I mean, obviously show up with my own, you know, Manolito and Jewel of the South, and have a drink there, say hi to the people.
Chris, what an amazing job you do with history, with flavor, and with hospitality. Thank you so much for coming to speak with us. And please do come back soon, will you?
Yeah, of course. This has been amazing. Thank you, Poppy.
That was award-winning bartender Chris Hanna of Jewel of the South. Coming up next, we speak with Arvinder and Ashwin Vilku of Saffron Nola. Louisiana Eats returns after the break. Poppy Tooker, and you're listening to Louisiana Eats, edible content for Louisiana food lovers. Louisiana Eats is brought to you with major support from Blue Plate Mayonnaise, the beloved secret ingredient of Louisiana kitchens for over 95 years. Blue Plate Mayonnaise turns up the heat with their hot and spicy mayo, blending that rich, creamy, only the egg yolks recipe with a serious cayenne pepper kick. Hotter and more flavorful than an average spicy mayo, it gives everything a genuine New Orleans burn. Blue Plate's hot and spicy mayo, that's the good stuff. And from Visit the North Shore, discover world-class culinary flavors on the North Shore this fall. Experience the bounty of the bayou and rich culture from award-winning chefs, soulful mom-and-pop restaurants, extraordinary bakers, and creative mixologists. To learn more, request the Explore the North Shore Visitor Guide for inspirational stories, custom itineraries, and event information at visitthenorthshore.com. St. Tammany Parish, Louisiana's easy escape, just 40 minutes from New Orleans French Quarter.
Hello, I'm Arvinder Vilku of Saffron Nola.
Hey, I'm Ashwin Vilku, also of Saffron Nola.
It's my pleasure to sit down with the father-son team of Arvinder and Ashwin Vilku, who along with mom, Pardeep, and daughter, Pranita, run Saffron Nola. Arvinder was nominated for James Beard's Best Chef Award in 2024 for his superb work at the family's Indian restaurant. This follows the eatery's 2018 nomination as Best New Restaurant, just months after opening. But a lot of years and a lot of work went into that overnight success. 4 decades ago, the Vilku family emigrated to the United States and settled in New Orleans, where the warmth of the climate and the people made them feel at home. Trained as a hotelier, Arvinder worked for the Intercontinental, and there his talent was spotted by members of the exclusive Pickwick Club. Arvinder was asked to run the Pickwick and spent the next 31 years maintaining the exacting standards of the city's second oldest private club, founded in 1857. While he enjoyed his professional success, Arvinder still harbored his lifelong dream of cooking for a living. So in 1998, he and Darpeep opened a small catering business on the side.
Next thing we did was to get a brick-and-mortar place for us. But we ran it on Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays, and we went to work every day of the week. during Monday through Friday.
Yeah, a little strip mall over in Gretna.
Strip mall over Gretna. Because, you know, for us, getting a location was not important because most of our events were done offsite.
Right.
Until 2010, my wife retires. She served with the state of Louisiana for 25 years as a psychology behavior modification programmer. And she was bombarded with these questions. Now that you're retired, we would like to see a restaurant. And she was cornered by our friends and people who did the private events with us. And very reluctantly, both of us agreed to open a one-night-a-week restaurant next to our catering kitchen. And that restaurant ran for 6 years. Every Friday.
It was such a sensation.
Yeah, and it was such an encouraging effort. We were getting reservations 3 months out for that one Friday of the week.
The Vilkus had developed that sizable following by understanding from the beginning the challenge of introducing Indian cuisine to people who were unfamiliar with it.
To introduce our Indian cuisine to people who have never tried it before, it was a very, 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 very tough task. And then when we were putting our menu together, and my wife and I used to often discuss, look, we need to develop a menu which is approachable to everyone who walks through our door. We should not be limited to the people who are used to our food. I want to create new friendship, new clients, and people who will go back and admire what they have just eaten.
As immigrants, and especially via New Orleans just sort of influences you, right? It doesn't matter who you are, you know, where you're from, and especially as culinarians, chefs, restaurateurs, it's going to influence you. And when Saffron opened as a Indian restaurant, there was something different there, and that was just us. There wasn't, you know, people always ask me, what is Saffron Nola? And I always say it's Indian food, but it's us. Because we didn't just say one day we were going to put New Orleans food and Indian food together. This has happened over the course of 30, 40 years being in this city. An organic melding of cultures, just like really what New Orleans is in the first place. And so all these things on the menu, like curried seafood gumbo and the oyster bed roast and the Bombay shrimp, all this stuff is just the organic thing that happened for us as a family.
Tell me about that gumbo, because, you know, gumbo is the most emblematic dish of New Orleans, certainly. How have you all made that dish your own?
We wanted to make sure that we did not compromise the originality of the gumbo. We did not compromise the way the gumbo is put together. Only thing we changed in that was our spices. We broiled our seasonings. We broil our seasoning for our Indian cooking. We did the same process for making the gumbo. For us, broiling the spices brings out the flavors of every component into the sauce medium or the broth medium or the soup medium. So that was our first attempt. And then we said, okay, we have garlic in gumbo. Let us add some ginger as well. Ginger and garlic is a very good combination in Indian cooking. Then we added another component, which is the curry leaf, K-A-R-I, leaf, which is a very southern Indian spice used in hot climate. South India is all very hot. So we are in the southern of United States. I said, why not? We should incorporate this spice in our gumbo. And voila, what a turnaround. And it was a fantastic finish on the gumbo. We wanted to make sure that the gumbo was brothy, flavorful, and nicely seasoned, but still tastes like New Orleans. And that was what we achieved very successfully.
When was the birth of that special gumbo?
Probably before, long before we started catering. Happened at home, yeah.
So Ashwin, there was something in you that just drew you to culinary and hospitality.
Right.
Tell me about your earliest memories and how that happened.
I always say that my earliest memory is these guys, mom and dad, they were, I always say, they were pretty modern for their time. So I got to see Mom and Dad do these parties. I was just a young kid. And their parties would be full of food, wine, and dancing. It was a little humble home, right? And we're Punjabis. We're from the north, and that is very stereotypical, like Punjabi people. Like, we drink, we dance, we have a great time. And as a kid, they would host these parties, but it wasn't just like a regular party. It wasn't paper plates and paper cups and Mardi Gras cups and all that stuff. It was sterling silver china. It was, again, humble home, humble beginnings. But I would see Dad making this super finessed food. I'd see Mom with the hospitality, the tray with the, you know, the doily liners and just the beautiful canapes, and Dad sometimes would be on the grill doing kebabs, and that smell of the chilies and onions and the meat cooking together. I mean, these are just such distinct memories I remember. And I just kind of been molded and shaped by all those memories.
Ashwin worked in a number of restaurants around the city starting as a teenager. And when it came time to pick a profession, he didn't stray far.
I'd finished college, and it was time for me to do something else. And, of course, I stayed in the industry but went to the beverage side and then started working in the spirits and wine industry for about 7-8 years. And that was pretty eye-opening as well, because that's like a very almost cult-like in a sense, that they represent these brands that are just, you know, huge, gigantic brands that are, you know, worth billions and billions of dollars. And I got to travel the world with this company and see restaurants and bars and talk to chefs and restaurateurs. So many collaboration wine dinners and spirit dinners. I mean, so you take the sort of experience from both of that, all that time. And when it came to, I was living in Baton Rouge, and I finally moved back down for a promotion within my company. After that promotion, I said, this is just not – I'm not feeling this anymore. This is just – something is different about me, and I don't think this is what I'm on this earth to do. I got to be contributing much more than alcohol into people's lives. And, you know, I said this at the commander's dinner. Nina Compton and Alon Shaya had opened their restaurants just recently. And that is really what kind of triggered me, because we were New Orleanians. We had been here, you know. Dad had at that time was already 18, 19 years of catering.
Yeah, those are newcomers.
Right?
Nina so, and Alon, those newcomers.
and they're dear friends, you know. I mean, they're great friends. And had never told them that story until the commander's dinner, that they kind of inspired. They did inspire me, because Nina had this really cool Caribbean concept and the New Orleans flair, and Alon and Shaya doing the Israeli thing with the pita bread. I'm like, guys, if these two things are working, people were going crazy over them. I mean, they got two beards in 1 year, and then Nina won, you know, a couple years back. I mean, so I was getting a little fired up. I said, no, we got to do something here.
And in the meantime, there's this 3-month waiting list for dinner at Saffron in the Gretna Strip Mall, you know.
Right?
So that was another pretty clear sign.
I used to say to them, I said, why are you doing this? Mm-hmm. They were losing. I mean, they weren't really losing money on Fridays, but they weren't making money on Fridays. It was just something, you know, that the guests wanted. And I used to say, you guys are crazy. I mean, there's a full wine list, linens on the table, flowers on the table, the lighting, the menu was all graphically designed. I mean, I was like, how can you do this? And I always, you know, when Saffron opened, I always said, thank you for doing that to me. I said, thank you for doing this, because the guests, it was a built-in population already. They already knew the name Saffron Nola. So when we were trying to figure out what is the name for the restaurant on Magazine Street going to be, it could only be one name, Saffron Nola.
Tell us about what it was like to first open Saffron Nola, because one of our topics here today is James Beard nominations and awards. And my goodness gracious, to get that Best New Restaurant in America nomination in 2018.
That was unbelievable. To get a nod from James Beard in the first year of the operation, and then get an invitation to go to New York and cook at James Beard House, that was beyond my expectations. I mean, we are just establishing ourselves, you know.
It was 2 months. It was, we were just, open 2 to 3
literally,
months.
Literally. And then it just came to us without any warning.
We cried, we hugged. Oh my God, we cried. You know, because it was accumulation of so many years at that. That was 2018. And then 2024.
Those of us who have had the good fortune to dine at Saffron Nola completely understand that these nominations were inspired by the Vilku family's passion for their work and their attention to detail.
You know, I always believed, and we all believed as a family, that you can cook all the best food in the world, but if you do not have an ambience and the atmosphere and the warmth of your employees welcoming everyone to your home, not a commercial establishment, if you don't develop an experience for them when they come dine with us, along with the great food and beverages, it has to be a total package. That was behind the planning of Saffron. So we hired a very good designer. We wanted to use elements of our culture, but not boldly, combining New Orleans and the culture of India into a very chic, classy-looking interior.
I can't thank you all enough for the incredible gifts that you give to this city that we all love, because you have truly given us something that we never had before your family arrived, and you're making such an important mark. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's been a true ride and true pleasure for the family and us. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's been amazing doing this, and we just want to do so much more.
That was Arvinder and Ashwin Vilku of Saffron Nola. Look for the family's new spot, Kingsway Restaurant, opening soon right across Magazine Street from Saffron. That's it for this week's edition of Louisiana Eats, edible content for Louisiana food lovers. Catch up on previous editions of Louisiana Eats on poppytooker.com, where over a decade of Louisiana Eats is available for pod and webcasting, along with recipes and cooking class videos, too. And don't forget to rate us on your preferred podcast platform. Major support for Louisiana Eats comes from Blue Plate Mayonnaise. When your poor boys, potato salads, and remoulade need that authentic New Orleans flavor, Blue Plate Mayonnaise, that's the good stuff. And the Audubon Clubhouse from Dickie Brennan and Company. Situated in Audubon Park just off Magazine Street, the newly renovated and expanded property adds a bar and private dining space to the expansive wraparound porch and dining room. Serving lunch Monday through Friday, weekend brunch, and now dinner Monday through Thursday till 9 p.m. Louisiana Eats is also made possible with major support from Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen, Louisiana Fish Fry, Crystal Hot Sauce, Rouse's Markets, Visit the North Shore, and Camellia Beans. Camellia Brand's Beans for Two includes Camellia's premium dried beans and a seasoning packet of spices and vegetables that easily cooks into two generous bowls of perfectly seasoned beans. Available for both red beans and white beans in grocery stores everywhere or online at CamelliaBrand.com. And from D'Agostino Pasta, celebrating our culture with fleur-de-lis, crawfish, and alligator-shaped pastas. All handcrafted in Louisiana, just as it's been done in Sicily for centuries. Visit D'AgostinoPasta.com to learn more. Original theme music composed by David Pomerleau and performed by Johnny Sketch and the Dirty Notes. Big thanks to senior producer Joe Schreiner, Producers Blake Longlinet and Steve Himmelfarb, with writing contributions from Becky Retz, and to our business manager and social media maven, Maddie Mulladew. Catch up with us anytime on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, too. Louisiana Eats is a production of Poppy Tooker Broadcasting.